the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Annuities, you hear so much about them these days. Complex instruments that have been around for a long time. Are they good? Are they bad? And there are so many varieties. Do they really fit you as an investor? Joining me on the program is Moshe Milevsky. He's finance professor at the Schulich School of Business at York University in Toronto. Professor, welcome to the program. I want to cover the history of annuities because here in the States, they've gotten a bad rap. So I want to talk about how they were first used as a early form of government finance. I mean, this goes back to the Middle Ages and before. Then secondly, the transformation of annuities, like, for example, today they're adding long-term care provisions. At the same time, you have a lot of companies exiting the long-term care market. So, you know, they can become very useful in retirement planning. So I want to cover those and what's changed in the industry.
Oh, that's a broad question. That's a big one. So you're going to have to tell me how many minutes you want to budget for the reply.
Okay. I want to cover these areas because they're least understood. Here in the U.S., you even have negative ads run against annuities, and they've gotten a bad rap. And what I find interesting is the educational field, individuals like yourself, Merton at Harvard, like annuities and retirement planning versus the investment industry that doesn't like them.
Well, I'd say that's a bit of a generalization, but let me start first with one of the biggest sources of confusion that I find with annuities, and that is that the word is almost meaningless nowadays. When I say the word car to you, it means something. It's going to have four wheels. It may have a driver. It may be self-driving. It's understood that it goes on a road. If I say the word fund to you, hey, do you like funds? What are your views on funds? Do you invest in funds or do you hate funds? Your reaction would be, well, what kind of fund? Is it a mutual fund? Is it an exchange-traded fund? Is it a hedge fund? Is it a limited partnership fund? A fund is a word that you attach to something. Alone, the word is meaningless. And the same thing is now happening with annuity. The word itself doesn't really mean very much. You can have indexed annuities. You can have delayed annuities. You can have single premium income annuities. You can have variable annuities. You can have QLACs. I mean, the list goes on, and each one does a slightly different thing, and it means different items. So my point is that when we discuss the topic of annuities, we really have to narrow it down to what specific annuity are you looking at?
Let's kind of narrow the focus then of our discussion to three types. Let's talk about a variable annuity, a fixed annuity, an indexed annuity, and an immediate annuity. So that way we can narrow the scope of our talk. But let's begin with your standard fixed annuity.
So let's start with the least controversial annuities. And what I say by least controversial, I mean annuities that it's going to be very, very hard to find any critic of them, that almost anybody would agree that they're a good idea. And those would be immediate annuities, or otherwise known as income annuities. These are instruments that people buy at retirement, like a pension, where they go to an insurance company and they say, look, here's $100,000. I don't have a pension from work. All they gave me was this money from a 401k. I would like to get a stable, predictable, inflation-adjusted, guaranteed income for the rest of my life, just like the employers used to provide, just like Social Security, teachers, firemen, police officer get. I'm jealous of them. I want one of those. I want to buy one. And the insurance company would say, sure, we'd be delighted to do it. If you give us $100,000, here's how much we can guarantee you every month for the rest of your life, as long as you live. Here is your pension. That is an immediate annuity, and I cannot believe that there's anybody out there, whether it's from the investment industry or any other industry, that would say, no, pensions are really bad ideas. People shouldn't have pensions. I mean, in some sense, that's the gold-plated standard. That's what we want to have at retirement, a pension. Is that part clear?
Very clear. I mean, people forget, Professor, that at one time when we used to have defined benefit pension plans, that's exactly what they were. A company would give a lump sum of money to an insurance company saying, we've got this employee that spent 30 years with us. His age is X. His wife is age X. What will you give us based on their life expectancy? And that became their pension. So people forget that at one time in this country, that's what most people got when they retired.
And I can tell you, anybody who's in their 70s and 80s hasn't forgotten that, because many of them are retiring on those sorts of pensions. They haven't disappeared. There's an entire generation of people that are getting those sorts of pensions right now, and most of them are very happy with it. And it's a shame that the next generation isn't going to have them. There are some good reasons for it, but as the next generation comes up for retirement, they're going to look at their dad and granddad and grandmother and grandmother and say, hey, I want one of those. I want to buy one from an insurance company. An insurance company would be delighted to do that for you. It's called an immediate annuity, and it's very hard to argue with that being an important element. I mean, that's on the one side, and I think that that's the way retirement should organize itself. I think that when you're 80s and 90s, and if you're fortunate enough to reach 95, you probably want most of your income coming from guaranteed sources that you don't have to worry about. You don't have to figure out, gee, how many stocks should I sell this month to finance my retirement, and what's a sustainable spending rate, and I don't know, should I have more international stock or domestic stock? So I think, I mean, if we start at that corner, it's very tough to argue with the annuity proposition being a good idea.
All right, let's talk about another annuity, and that is just a fixed annuity. It's similar to a certificate of deposit or close to a bond. You give them the principal, and the insurance company is going to give you a fixed rate of return. Let's talk about those next.
So that has absolutely nothing to do with pensions. That has absolutely nothing to do with getting an income for the rest of your life as long as you live. That certainly doesn't look anything like Social Security or a teacher or a fireman's pension plan. And yet it's called an annuity. Hence, part of the problem. That's just a savings instrument. That's a bank deposit, it's an investment account, it could be called a bond. You know, it all deals with money, so in some sense it's all related to each other, but that's part of the issue here, that is also called an annuity, and when somebody says the word annuity, I don't know, which one are you talking about, the pension or the deposit account? The fixed annuity, you know, it comes down to, do you need the money in the next couple of years, or can you afford to lock it up? Are you comfortable giving it to an insurance company for a couple of years, or would you rather have it liquid in a bank? Do you want it tax sheltered, or do you want to have to pay tax along the way? What income tax brackets are you in? The questions that come up when deciding whether that sort of annuity would be good for you or not are very, very different from the types of questions that come up at retirement at the age of 60 or 70 about producing an income, and sometimes that kind of product makes sense. Sometimes I would say, you know what, why don't you just buy a government bond, or why don't you buy a bond mutual fund, or why don't you buy an ETF, or why don't you put the money in the bank? I'm not saying they're not good ideas, but the dialogue is going to be different. It's sort of the other extreme.
So there's a lot more questions and a lot more clarification that an investor needs to be made aware of if they're going to make those type of decisions. Let's move on to something that is less predictable, and that's a variable annuity. Let's talk about that.
If you think about this as sort of an encyclopedia of annuities, you know, and then on the one extreme we had the income annuity, the pension that I think everybody likes, and on the other extreme you have sort of these accumulation annuities. The variable annuity is a combination of these two. You're buying an investment. That investment is going to be diversified. You can pick funds. They hopefully grow over time, and there's some guarantees associated with those investments. Those guarantees are sometimes associated with income. Sometimes they're associated with principal. You know, for people that want to make sure that there's a death benefit there, people that want to convert it into income, people that are concerned about the stock market, people that want to shelter some income and growth from taxes, they might make sense. And, you know, there are fees that someone has to take into account and make sure that they're comfortable with those fees, that they recognize and understand those fees. Let's put it this way. There's absolutely no way that in a 3-minute interview, someone can convince someone else, this is a good idea for you or this is a bad idea for you. What I can convince someone is you might want to look into these things because they make sense for many people.
And, you know, especially somebody that may be in a high tax bracket and wants some form of guarantee, which these products offer, and then also don't want to have, let's say, taxable income that will be taxed at a high marginal rate. Let's move on to another type of annuity that has become very popular here, and those are indexed annuities. Explain what they are and why, for example, they become so popular.
So an indexed annuity, you know, if I could summarize it in a brief sentence, it's an annuity similar to a bank account or a savings account where the interest that's credited to you will depend on how a particular stock market or stock index performs as opposed to pure interest rates. So some people like to describe it as a mutual fund with training wheels. You can't really fall on the bike or you can't lose your money because you get the money back guarantee at maturity. But if the markets do well, you get some sort of upside participation. They are becoming more popular. They enable people to participate in the upside. They don't on the downside. I personally like to look at them as bond substitutes. If you're concerned about interest rates going up and perhaps a bond portfolio taking a hit, you would purchase one of these things that guarantees that you'll get the principal back. But it's, again, another type of annuity. It has different characteristics. It's not a pension. It's not a guaranteed income for the rest of your life. It has absolutely nothing to do with Social Security and a teacher's pension. It's an instrument that happens to be called an annuity because of its legal and tax status that has certain characteristics related to the investment market.
I want to move on to some of the characteristics of all annuities, or at least most of them, and that is tax deferral. So if you have your money in a variable annuity, indexed annuity, fixed annuity, until you pull the money out, you're not paying taxes on it. It has tax advantages. Annuities can also avoid probate when it comes to estate planning. Annuities also have some add-on features, for example, turning into, for example, a long-term care provision. So let's talk about some of those add-ons. It's kind of like getting back to your analogy of funds or a car. If you say a car, okay, we know it has a steering wheel and four wheels, but does it have air conditioning? Does it have leather seats? Does it have a stereo system? So let's talk about these add-on features that come with annuities.
One of the benefits of an annuity structure is that all the growth inside is going to be tax sheltered. Of course, when you pull the money out, you're going to have to pay income taxes on the gains and probably at ordinary interest rates as opposed to capital gains or dividends. If you're holding this instrument inside of a 401k or qualified, there's absolutely no benefit from the tax shelter. And my understanding is that 60% of people hold it, so the benefit of the tax really isn't there. They would have had the benefit otherwise. But it's certainly there, and people that are in a high bracket and they've used up all their qualified space and they're trying to figure out, gee, how do I not get another 1099? This is certainly one way to do it. In terms of the long-term care, it's not quite long-term care insurance per se. It's not that, oh, gee, if I ever go into a nursing home, the insurance company will pay me for the rest of my life much, much more than I put in. In many cases, it's just a rider that's added on where they say, well, we'll give you access to the money up to a certain amount if you have to go into a nursing home. So they relax the liquidity provisions. Sometimes they tell you you can convert it into a long-term care insurance policy, possibly without underwriting. And that's something that can be valuable. As you pointed out earlier in the show, a number of companies are either pulling out of the long-term care insurance business or they're raising premiums on everyone that bought one of these things. A couple of companies announced last week that they're going to be increasing premiums by 70 or 80%, which can be pretty scary. So there's certainly an element of that in these annuities.
Why is it, and maybe it's because of the complexity, as we started this conversation when you gave the analogy, hey, do you like funds? The question is, what kind of funds? So I guess if you want to talk about annuities, you have to ask, what kind of annuity? So they're a lot more complex. There's a lot more variety. But why do you think they've gotten such a bad reputation?
Yeah, so, you know, that's a deep question, and I often ask that myself, because I come across a lot of, I hate to use the word hatred, but vitriol and pushback against the annuity concept. And, you know, at some point you ask yourself, okay, what's causing this? You know, yes, I think you're wrong, but at some point you have to step back and say, all right, you're wrong, but why are you wrong? And where's this coming from? And my sense is that one of the main reasons is that historically, the commissions on many of these products were very, very high, and a lot of people, rightfully so, felt this person doesn't deserve 20% of my money just for selling me an annuity. Why are they getting 20% of my money? So I think that that high commission, which is non-existent almost anymore, that high commission created an aura of, oh, annuities, well, yeah, you're going to pay the salesman 20% and you're going to lose a huge amount of. I think that's part of it, and in some sense, the insurance industry is to blame there. They paid way too much commissions on these things. And the commissions were financed with surrender charges that were 15, 20, 25 years long, which was also problematic for consumers. What do you mean I can't get my money for the next 20 years? What if I have an emergency? So this was a small segment of the very large annuity market, or to use our analogy before, it was one type of car that had a problem that the wheels would fall off on the highway, but suddenly everybody starts to hate cars. And I think that that's part of the issue. And then it takes a long time to reverse that image, even though those practices are long gone.
And hasn't the industry and also the regulators come down on these high commissions? In other words, you can even find what is called no-load annuities today where you don't have these surrender charges or commissions.
Yes, there are share classes, to use a technical term, where you don't have to worry about commissions at all. You can get your money anytime. The ongoing fees might be a bit higher. There are investment-only annuities that have very, very low fees because there's no guarantees associated with it. There are annuities that you can purchase where there are no commissions at all, and the investment advisor, in some sense, doesn't even get compensated from the insurance company. They have to get compensation elsewhere. But, you know, the memories of the bad products and the bad sales are still there. And, you know, that's something that the industry has to deal with. But you're absolutely right. There's a lot of pushback on these things. Part of it is ignorance. Part of it is that they're thinking back to the old products that don't exist anymore. And part of it, I hate to say it, is just laziness. You know, do your homework. Study on these things. Some of them are very good ideas.
You know, one of the things that have come out of the universities, especially in the retirement planning sections at universities, they like the concept of annuities, and in particular, immediate annuities, because let's face it, you retire at age 65. At age 65, you have less tolerance for risk. You don't like to see the big bear markets that we went through in the last decade, two of them, that devastated a lot of portfolios. And as you mentioned, when you get older, there's a couple of things. People are living longer, so you don't know how long you're going to need to have that income paid to you, and it's predictable. And as you age, those are the kind of things you want as a retiree, is a predictable level of income. As you mentioned, you don't want to figure out each month, how many shares do I have to sell in my equity fund or bond fund to support my style of living? So let's talk about the role that they're playing that can provide one form of security you can't outlive, which is very hard to find today.
It is. So, you know, almost our entire discussion up until now has been very sort of rational, quantitative. It's, you know, this is what it does for you, and here's why it's better than a fund, or here's why it's better than a bond. But once you leave that sort of rational, financial, economic world, you get into a whole bunch of behavioral issues. And I think that the automated income payments for many of these annuities have value that are difficult to quantify in this sort of a rational framework. I mean, for example, the peace of mind that comes from knowing that no matter what I do, no matter what mistakes I make, no matter how silly an investment I select, I know I'm going to get a guaranteed income for the rest of my life. How do you quantify? Sometimes I joke that these annuities, the riders on these annuities, when you turn them on, provide you with a type of insurance that I call senility insurance. And I know it's a harsh term. You know, what happens if I lose my mind and I can't trust myself anymore and I'm not quite sure who to... I know that that income will continue to be there so that I don't have to worry about me making mistakes. Now I don't think I make mistakes. 25 years from now, I don't know. And that's protection against that as well, the peace of mind. All of these things are very difficult to quantify using traditional models. And I think that's one of the reasons the researchers and the academics that you mentioned earlier have been fans of these. And for quite a while, I think it's only recently the industry has started to realize, hey, there's all these professors that like these things. Let's give them a voice. I think that we were fans of them long ago. It's just taken time for the practitioner world to realize that, hey, there's a whole bunch of fans of these ideas in the ivory tower.
You know, I want to relate an interesting story. One of the greatest traders in stock market history was a gentleman by the name of Jesse Livermore, and he made a fortune during the Great Crash in 1929 and made almost $100 million, but then he lost a good portion of it. But the one thing that saved Jesse Livermore and allowed him to live a lavish lifestyle is when he made that fortune, he took a chunk of it. I think I read somewhere it was like $10 million, which in 1929 was a ton of money. He put it in an immediate annuity, so he knew no matter what happened in the markets, he would always have a nice lifestyle, and it was the best thing he ever did because he went back in the markets in 1931. He thought the bear market was over, and he lost a good portion of his fortune. What saved him was that annuity. So I thought that was an interesting story. One of the most brilliant traders knew that he could also lose money, and he wanted to do something to protect himself, which was an immediate annuity.
That's an interesting story. Jesse Livermore is obviously a legend. That's quite an interesting story. I wonder if it's a true story, but it's a really, really good story.
One of the most important things when you're looking at an annuity, do your homework and find out what your particular needs are so you can match your needs with an annuity if you need one.
Yeah, and I would also add to it two things. First of all, don't dismiss it just because you hear the A word, you know, the scarlet letter A. Oh, no, I'm not going near that. I saw on TV they're bad. You got to go beyond the fake news, to use a term. But I think, second of all, your questions should be, what is it going to do for me? Don't tell me what it's called. Don't give me the technical term. Don't give me a 50-page prospectus. What will this instrument do for me personally? And I think that's the way to grasp how these things operate and what they do, as opposed to names.
Well, listen, Professor, some great information, and thanks for clarifying a lot of these things for our listeners. All the best to you, sir, and come back and talk to us again.
My pleasure. Good luck to you. Have a great weekend.
That concludes my interview with Professor Malefsky, and I'm glad he was able to clarify some things. When it comes to annuities, there's so many kinds out there. You really have to begin your discussion. What are my investment needs? What are my retirement and security needs? So that then you can go forward to see if annuities fit in. And let's face it, how many of us would love to have predictable income for the rest of our life that we can never outlive? And that's why annuities still today, and they've been around for over 1,000 years. They were first used as a means of financing governments back in the Middle Ages. Still makes sense when it comes to retirement planning. I'm Jim Poplava. Thanks for listening.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertised with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.